Welcome to the Fanboy Factor Podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, how's it going, man?
Doing good, sir. Doing good. How are you?
Good. Brian, we haven't had a guest on in a long time, but we have one today.
Yes.
We have sculptor Mark Newman, who does some sculpting for Sideshow Collectibles. Mark?
Yes.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Mark, I figured we start off talking a little bit about yourself. How did you get into sculpting?
I was always into art, you know, when I was growing up. I went to art school. After high school, I was, at that time, didn't know really much about how to make a living at it. So I went into illustration program at the Academy of Art College in San Francisco. During that time as well, I was also really into special effects, kind of makeup and stuff, and did my own stuff on that and just playing with it and reading about it and trying to get into it, but didn't want to move to L.A. to try to get a job. So illustration was the thing, and so I went through the whole program there and just I kept liking 3D a lot more, so I just kind of kept going in that direction. When I graduated with an illustration degree, I was kind of like, what am I going to do now? I want to do 3D. So I don't know. I kind of fell into working with a gift company, just doing little projects with them and, you know, 3D sculpts. And so just kind of went from there and getting more work. So always clay and was a lot more intuitive to me than just the flat art.
Did you do any kind of illustration work for anybody?
Yeah, a little bit. Nothing notable, nothing in the pop culture kind of thing. It was more like brochure, kind of black and white work, pen and ink. This is back in 87, so we're talking almost before computer jet graphics or computer work was involved, and, you know, at least even in the 2D art. But so not a whole lot with that. So right away, like just after I graduated, I kind of got some jobs working at a gift company, working for them, always independent as a freelancer, doing little ceramic masks designs that was really popular back then, kind of whimsical characters and stuff that were half faces that would hang on a wall, you know, nothing too exciting. But so I started working right away in the, you know, freelance work world, doing sculpture as opposed to too much illustration. So,
yeah,
you know, it just built from there. And I did some illustration work. I was working with when I was doing work for another company. I did some actually paintings of some Star Trek that, like, the I remember an airbrush painting I did for a collectible plate. It was like transferred onto a plate when collectible plates were all kind of big.
Okay.
Of the Starship Enterprise. So that was one of the first kind of the pop culture things that I did as a illustrator, and that was kind of fun. But it didn't excite me as much. I liked Star Trek, but it was like, oh, it's a painting. Not that I want to build a model of it, but anyway, so just a little bit of illustration work as a professional, quote professional, you know.
So yeah. What was the first, I guess, toy company that you worked for?
I did a whole lot of collectible sculptures. It wasn't a toy company. It was another company first, but I built a bunch of just work doing more mainstream stuff. But the first actual toy and pop culture stuff, my friend Randy Bowen, because we were friends way back before he started his company, Bowen Designs, mm-hmm. when he lived out here in California. And, when he moved to Oregon years later, we kind of lost touch for a bunch of years. And then we just got back in touch after almost 15 years when he already had Bowen Designs going. And he asked if I would really be interested in doing some, you know, sculpts for him. And I was like, hell yeah. Yeah, that sounds really cool, working for a good friend and getting out of this mainstream kind of boring stuff I was doing. That was great. He just, at the time, he was like just up and running big, you know, and was going bigger and better and had to do a lot more property, a lot more, you know, SKUs or product for his license. And so he was hiring a bunch of freelance artists to do a lot of that. So I kind of jumped in on that right away, and I worked a bunch of years with him. So that was really good. That's got me kind of going into the whole, you know, the pop culture and stuff I'm totally into now and haven't gone back.
Were you a comic reader growing up at all?
No, I never really read comics too much, which I'm kind of ashamed to say. I'm totally into now. But it was weird because when I was even in before high school, somebody, I don't know who it was, I still don't know who it was, but I have an idea, sent me a subscription to Spider-Man, you know, magazine. And that was like, God, I wish I had those magazines still. It was like, you know, 78, 75, right? And I still remember some of these covers that I'm seeing now that I had that, oh my God, they're worth that much. And so I just somehow kept getting this magazine. I was drawing, you know, trying to copy those and draw the characters and make my own little character. So that's kind of what got me into, I was always comical, doing comic kind of cartoony drawings when I was drawing and before high school and all that. And so it just got me to like study, you know, the superhero anatomy and just how to work that up. But it was weird. I kind of read comics, but I mostly looked at the pictures. So the storylines, huh?
I think a lot of us do that.
I know. And the storylines were like lost on me for some reason. I'm a slow reader as it is. I kind of always listen to art. You know, so I just wanted to look at the pictures. I almost, you know, found the story that way, just looking at the illustrations. So, and then, oh, you know, just looking at all the graphic novels, going through comic book shops, and again, just flipping through and seeing the imagery, it was just, you know, blew me away. So,
how long did you work for Bowen?
I worked with him about 4 years or so, a stretch. I was trying to remember how many I sculpted for him, but it's quite a few. I think the very first one I did was Wolverine. And he's the one on the rock kind of coming forward, one knee way up. They made a brown version of him and they're regular. But it was like the very first one I did. And I remember sculpting him, showing pics he liked it and stuff. And I showed him the size and he goes, oh, wow, that's way too out of scale for what we do. So I don't know. I think I had to restart and do it, and then I gave it to him, and he tried to shrink mold it and to make it work. And now I look at it, and it's like crap to me because I think it warped and stuff. But that was the very first one I did. I don't remember the year. I'm trying to – I can see it on my shelf, but if I go over to grab it, I'll have to unplug my headset. So it's probably – it was probably about – like I say, 4, maybe 5 years stretch.
Okay. Have you done any, are you just sculptures or have you done like action figures, anything like that?
One project I did an action figure. It was through a company called Playmate Toys that are no longer around, I don't think. And I think it's an independent comic or something that was coming out that never even went anywhere. So I did these three figures that were about six or eight inches tall, and I had to do all the parts and stuff. So that was and it never did anything. So it just did prototypes, and shamefully, you know, it was a kind of bummer that it never hit the market. But I still the other day I found these castings that I have of the parts, and that's actually the only articulated kind of action figure piece I've done. You know, I got paid at least, but didn't go anywhere. So, yeah, that, you know, and I always liked the stagnant kind of the pose figure that had its own story right there. And, you know, I wasn't into articulation because all the pieces were a little too mechanical. Everything was kind of flat and it was a little too much geometry involved in creating these, you know, the pieces way back before them. Now they have the technology to, of course, you know, digital, but I don't know. I was more into the whole figure and the flow and the design and looking at it from all around. So luckily I found work in that. So
if I could ask, like, how does that work? Do they come to you? It's like, we want a statue of this character. What can you give us? How does the entire thing work to, like,
Well, with Bowen, it was actually pretty much the same with Bowen and Sideshow, where they get a concept, they get the okay from the licensor, they do a drawing in-house usually, or sometimes, actually a lot of times they let me do a sketch-up first. Mostly for Sideshow, it's they have concept guys that do the drawings, get them approved by the licensee or licensor, then they go to the sculptor like me and say, here's what we got. And it's usually not total front, side, back, up and down, you know, it's not very technical. The drawing's very loose.
So they're not like character sheets or anything like that?
Not really. I mean, I don't know how it is for everybody else. I know for me, because when I started working on Sideshow, that was kind of, you know, fairly well established, I would guess. That's how I think Anthony Mestis contacted me first to do some work with them. But it was kind of a loose, just one view drawing of, okay, I think the person with them was She-Hulk. So I did they sent me a drawing. I don't know who did the drawing, but it was like, you know, they asked what I charge, and I give them a quote, send it in, and then they would either approve it or not, and it'd come to me, and then I'd just do a rough-up just with that one view, and they, you know, usually then when we see the 3D roughs posed, send them photographs that can see all around and see if it looks good from every angle. Sometimes they would send that to the client, some clients are different. They rather see every step of the way and nitpick the whole process through. And Sideshow's kind of the middleman between them and, you know, me creating the final piece.
How does that work though? Like, do you send them pictures?
Yeah, just email pictures, just incremental shots of all the way around, close-ups of details as it gets more further along. they would sometimes send a just reference art, you know, okay, we want it to look like, you know, a certain 2D artist style, possibly. Like a lot of the DC stuff is like, we want it to look similar to this. They let me kind of go loose with the face. I can kind of tighten it up. It doesn't have to be so specific, Jim Lee style or whatever. It could be, I don't know. A lot of times Sideshow tries to say we want to let our artists do what they do best. And so they tell the licensees that, we want to give this to, whoever artist and say, oh, they're good at this and that and this. And, you know, they let us kind of work freely with that, which is really cool about Sideshow. They let us, each artist, and they pick their projects to, you know, the artists that can do the best in that situation, like either robot kind of characters, like, Iron Man, or, you know, goes to some specific people, or they apparently have me do a lot of the Hot Women.
I'm going to ask you about that later.
Yeah, which I have no problem with. It's fine. I love that. So it's, so they really kind of dial it into whoever they can get to work on it. A lot of their in-house guys, you know, mostly do all, they can, you know, probably pick the best project that they want to do or best suited to, and then it goes out from there. But, it's very, every project is a little bit different of how they do it. Sometimes it's a tighter drawing, front, side, back. A couple times they sent me a rough, like ZBrush pose of a figure, like I think it was Power Girl. They had me, Andy Burkholz do a ZBrush, pose of the piece they wanted, where specifically landing in where she landed in a spot, like it looks like a crater she slammed down into and at least created. And then, had me work from that rough pose to get that right, as opposed to just a single view. So it kind of changes, you know, from project to project of what I get.
So in essence, you're not only are you sort of answering to Sideshow, but you're also answering to DC?
I don't. It goes right to Sideshow, and then I send, you know, an
email. Send it to them, okay.
Yeah, and then it goes to DC, I guess, if we're talking then. And they come back with comments. Although a few times, and I don't know if this is common, but they've let me get to almost a finish before they said, oh, we sent it in, here's some of their notes. A lot of times it's, and I'm like, what? You didn't show them early on in this? Working once doing a piece with, I think it was Kerrigan, so it was Blizzard, was the licensor, and they were pretty, you know, into every step of the way wanting to comment and tweak and work, and so time kind of lags as you do that. You send in stuff and you want to continue on it, and you don't hear back for 3 or 4 days, maybe a week or two even, and you progress on it and you want to, you know, not work and then have to backtrack. So that got a little frustrating for that project. But Sideshow, usually, I don't know if they have a better working relationship with DC and Marvel, but they, you know, basically have me work it up. And I really rarely get a lot of change this, change that. It's usually small stuff. You take what you get with every project, but it's pretty easy working with Sideshow. And Bowen, it was actually quite the same way. He would just, you know, just say, oh, you just send your pictures back with just a couple little notes. Again, it's kind of similar with both companies. He's working with them, of how my process works with them as and with the licensor. So far it hasn't been too much of a headache, luckily.
Now, if I could just ask about, like, one in particular, I'm looking at your, like I said, on DeviantArt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of curious. I'm looking at your Storm.
Mm-hmm.
One amazing work, but I'm like, you got the work in progress shots. I mean, and then the finished product has the cape on it. How do you figure that out? It's like the cape afterwards, or
well, you know, aside, yeah.
I know it's kind of a weird question, but I'm just kind of like wondering.
No, not at all. It's the ones that when I post usually on those, it's my finished sculpt. I mean, that's how I deliver it to Sideshow. But it comes apart. It's all keyed together.
Mm-hmm.
With Sideshow, I do all the premium format scale, which is quarter scale. Some pieces are the mixed media with the material and stuff.
Oh.
And I don't deal with that at all. So they tell me Storm's going to have, you know, this is her cape. And so originally they had Thor Badendick do the concept work on that, did the drawing and the design and sent it in, and he was doing the art poster that came with that. So I kind of talked with him as I was sculpting it, just getting the proportions right, what he was seeing as it went. But the cape was totally different. I didn't know how that's going to turn out. And it, when I send in my finished sculpt, they mold and cast a master, and then they have Tim Hansen, usually with Sideshow, is the main guy in the fabrication of all the fabric work. He does all that, the designs of that, and makes it work, and does the, basically, he's a miniature tailor, you know, even though he's quite a substantial man. But he's really amazing what he does with the fabric and all these stuff, and I know they have a few other guys that work there and women that do that, but. So yeah, they give me the, you know, drawing or the design. It shows the cape in there, but you know, that's, if it's a material part, they list that. They list this part's sculpt, this part's material. So, you know, I don't deal with the material part. It goes to them, and then they work it in house to get to where they want it, and then it goes, you know, after the molds and stuff and casts and masters, they send it out to get produced.
But essentially, you have to somehow like work around it when you're doing your sculpt.
Yeah, actually, a lot of times it has depending what costume is on there, there's parts that have to tuck into sculpted parts,
mm-hmm.
and parts that would plug over, you know, a piece to capture in a cape or any, you know, whatever part of material. So that has to be actually I'm doing a lot of that now with a piece I'm working on where I can't say what it is, but there's armor involved and a cape underneath. And so as it comes over the shoulder of the character and a shoulder piece, armor piece goes over that, the cape goes under that. So I have to allow for that, you know, 1/16th of an inch or less of fabric to go in there when it's mold and cast and shrinkage and all this stuff kind of involved into the final piece.
Wow.
So, yeah, they really, you know, it's kind of like specified of how the fabric's going to flow on this and what it works with as a hard sculpt and then works with the fabric pieces and how they, and then they put in wiring to, so you can pose, like on Storm, the cape.
Mm-hmm.
Along her piping on her cape, there's a wire through there, so you can really pose it yourself, which is really cool about fabric. Just doesn't just dangle down as a hard, you know, out of scale kind of material.
Right.
That looks too stiff or something. You can kind of actually pose it, which is really cool.
Definitely sounds like a challenge. Better you than me.
Yeah. It's not that bad. Again, like, Jenna gets to them, and they have to figure that part out, so it's like, okay. Next project, I'm done with my part.
Well, without the approval process, how long does it take for you to do, like, a premium format figure?
Well, it varies again, of course, depending on the detail. If it's a Marvel or a DC character, like, let's say Storm again, that probably, it was fairly simple, actually, compared to a lot of the stuff I've done. It probably took about a month and a half from me to start to finish it. And that is a few days of approvals, which wasn't a lot of holdup. But, again, she was simple. A lot of it was mostly sculpted, you know, and a lot of it is taking it apart. Mm-hmm. So I've done mold making years ago, and I used to do a lot of that. I don't anymore because I don't enjoy it. But I know the process of what needs to be what and what pieces and how much you can get away with. As one piece as opposed to many, many pieces.
Do you, when you go to break them up to send, do you, like, flinch at all? Like, I don't really want to do this?
A little bit sometimes.
Like, it just looks good.
In a lot, yeah. Yeah, but I'll plan that in advance at times because, I mean, every piece now, I still, when I make an armature, I have to realize this is going to be cut off.
Yeah.
And that's going to be cut off, and that's going to... So I don't do a whole lot of separate parts and put it all together because then you lose a flow of a whole pose, or an intention or a, you know, the drama of it. You kind of lose it, kind of like an action figure. You'd have to sculpt piece by piece and you stick together. It looks like a mannequin sometimes. So you kind of do a loose, you know, the whole thing like that and realize you're going to cut into this, grind it away, and you have to re-sculpt where the two parts meet. So, you know. You sculpt it all up nice, and then I use Super Sculpey, which is a polymer clay. They bake in the oven, it turns solid, and then you can carve and sand and add to it. So when you have a finished piece and you got to cut the leg off, you kind of plan where that seam line is going to be. So when you put it together, it's not just a hard line cutting across, you know, nice, you know, anatomy or something where, you know, you either follow a muscle or you follow where the costume meets the skin, you know, depending what it is. So you got to just either chomp it away, and then as you make the, you know, you grind out the negative, and then when you do the joint, then as it comes together, you a lot of times you carve away the surface, and then go back and re-sculpt just where they join, just to really make it really sweet and nice. Even though you realize there's going to be shrinkage, every time you cast something and mold it and cast it, there's a slight shrinkage. And if your joints are have too much topography or whatever, too many ins and outs, shrinkage on that is a nightmare. You know, it has to be a fairly simple puzzle piece. So when it shrinks, there's not a lot of misalignment and stuff. So a lot of that has to be thought out in my stage. And when it gets to them, a lot of times, Saicha will send it to a factory, and the factory will just rethink their whole keying system and do, you know, re-key the masters. And so it comes in a whole different thing when you get your final piece. Like, oh, that comes off separately. And then when they pack it to ship it, you know, mostly it's put together already, but sometimes I'll have the head come out, swap out, or whatever they need, the parts. So, yeah, it's kind of a... When, you know, when I do a finished piece, send it in, and I finally see the production piece out, you see all the changes that made along the way just to make it better. So I take that as a learning lesson of, okay, next time I'll do it this way maybe to make it easier.
Sideshow recently released their, new edition of the Poison Ivy statue, Queen of Envy. What are the differences between, well, actually the first question is, do you know why they made a new edition of it?
I don't know. Those decisions are, I don't have anything to do with that. I know it's a lot of people, I don't know if they hear feedback from people seeing that piece. Oh, why didn't her legs green and the rest of her is not? And so, people, hey, it's new towards, I don't know. And so I don't know if they pay attention to a lot of that. I know they do some on the boards that what people say about it. But sometimes if it's a real popular piece, they'll do a variant. And so they just didn't want to do the green version of her, so they had me sculpt new plant pods on there, So just to make it different, and which is really cool. And so for that, I know it was a popular piece when it hit. And so I guess they wanted to do a variant of it and redesign the plants just to make it a little different rather than, oh, now they're colored ones. And I got to buy both. Yeah, the hardcore collectors.
But there's no real difference in her.
No, it's the same sculpt. They didn't have me re-sculpt anything on her. It was just those two, the plant pods. And so on that one, and then they just painted the skin, differently. And I don't think they added more vines on her legs or anything else. I don't think so. But a lot of times, when they send a piece in and I see it produced, I'm like, oh, that's different. And then they have, when you look at the credits, there's all these, more than one sculptor added there. And then sometimes they'll tweak it in-house and fix something that wasn't quite right. Or they'll add something that made it better. And they have either their in-house guys or maybe send out somebody else. They rarely send it back to me or I don't think to the original people to do some of that stuff. It's just we're already on other projects and it's easier for them. But sometimes, like on DC stuff, they redid the faces on a couple of pieces I sent in. And I didn't know it until I saw Comic-Con. I'm like, whoa, why did you do that face? And they find out, okay, instead of bothering me with they want to change this, again, they didn't show them early on to get an approval at times. So it's, the way it works, they just deal with it in-house and make it, right for the licensor. So sometimes it changes and sometimes it doesn't. And that's why there's I think it's cool the way they list a lot of their artists who worked on the piece, from molding or, concept to sculptors to paint,
It is cool, actually. It's,
yeah.
Because obviously, especially with this statue, there's a lot of hard work that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take you to sculpt those leaves? That's got to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like each leaf on her costume is individually sculpted.
Yeah. It is, and that's actually not that bad. I mean, working with the clay I use, it's kind of doing any kind of anything organic is actually very nice and easy and flows well. I mean, you're not stamping out a pattern and trying to tweak each one. It's just putting the clay down and moving the tools around. And if I was doing that in wax, which is a hard medium, where it's kind of soft, you melt it on, and then you start carving away. To do that would take me four times as long. And doing hair, like in wax, where, again, if it's sculpy and other clays are very soft, you can guide your tool around and move it around very freely, and it's never hard until, you bake it to where you want it. But we're working in wax. Doing those leaves would, that's why I don't work in wax, because there's a lot of freedom that I'm used to in the softer clays that it's not allowed really in that, the harder mediums. So that wasn't that bad. I mean, if I have to deal with, machinery, I never like to do any kind of hard-edge stuff. I mean, I do it for parts and pieces of sculpts, but They would never send me like an Iron Man because that's not what I do. And there's other guys that's all they do and they love that either traditionally or digitally seems to be the best way to do that now. But, I think just the leaves on her probably took about a day or, almost a day or so just to get them all there. And as I look at them now, they look kind of simple. But a lot of times you'll do a simple technique and sculpt, and when it's painted, it looks a whole lot better.
And a lot of times it's the reverse of something very complicated and sculpt textures and all this stuff. And then it's painted, especially production painting. It could really kill a piece, you know, if it's not done right. So there's different, different looks for different things, but organic is always, is very, actually doing a base like rocks and stuff and a lot of vines. That's actually very fast.
So getting back to your earlier comment, you're the go-to guy for hot women?
it seems to be that with science, and I keep saying, oh, man, let me do something else for a while, but I don't mind it.
Did you do Batgirl, too?
Yeah, I did her, but that's one of the ones they changed her whole head on her, the one I sent in, okay. Which was fine. I think they had digital guys go in and do a digital sculpt and then had that done out, printed out and done. And when I talked to Walter O'Neill at Comic-Con, when I saw it was her and Power Girl, they redid her face too. He just said, oh yeah, that was DC's call at the end. And then, so we didn't have, we had to do that and we didn't want to bother you with it. So it was fine.
And it looks, they look good. I mean, it came out probably better than what I had done. So.
Brian, do you have anything else for Mark?
No, I think he answered a lot for me. So.
I'm good. Glad to know.
Mark, good stuff, man. I got that statue, and it's very impressive.
Yeah, sometimes I get copies of, I used to get a lot of the copies of what I've done. I haven't got her yet, so. Actually, I'm having a meeting next week with Sideshow going down to L.A., so I'm going to talk about a lot of things. But yeah, I'd like to see that one in person, because I like the plant pods a little better. I mean, I like the first ones better, the more almost Little Shop of Horrors style. Yeah.
Is there anything else you got coming up you can talk about?
I've been working on Court of the Dead a lot in the last couple of years. So I've been doing a lot of that, which has been really cool. I'm loving that because it let me design a lot on that because it's all their own license.
Yeah.
And so... working with Tom Gilliland, the creative director there, just specifically on, like, the siren piece, the mermaid one for Court of the Dead, they let me just do the whole design and get approved and then work from my designs with the sculpt. And that was cool because that was the first time that they let me work. And, no license, so they just let us do whatever we want. And so I've done a few since then, and then I'm working on three more of a series that are going to be hitting soon. I can't talk about those, but it's just more coolness. It's just a lot of fun because, again, it's not simple. It's not like just a basic superhero. It's a lot of texture, a lot of detail, and the whole Tom's mind and what he comes up with and the concept guys. And it's just really, really refreshing to work on in that sense. You're designing the piece as it goes and as opposed to following something specific. So, and then before that, there were a couple movie characters I'd done. I can't talk about it. I think Igo actually did mention on the board. It was it's a Jason and a Freddy I did quarter scale premium format.
Oh, and, nice.
Yeah, those are fun. Just fun to kind of get do something different. In between the hot women.
So, yeah, cool.
Thank you very much for coming on.
All right, Jesse. Good talking to Brian. Jesse, we'll talk again soon.
Definitely.
Thanks, man.
All right, take care.
Take care. Bye. All right, Brian, that was Mark Newman from Sculptor 4 Sideshow Collectibles. It was a pretty good interview.
Yeah, wish I had his talent.
Oh, my God. Some of his stuff is crazy.
I know. Jeez.
I was really hoping he was going to spill some stuff.
Nah, too careful. Hate that.
These guys are so careful. So, you want to talk a little bit about the TV shows? We haven't talked about them in a couple. Well, I mean, I don't think we talked about them last week.
No, we didn't get around to it.
No. How about we start off with your favorite?
Oh, God.
Gotham?
What a freaking train wreck.
Hey, before we start, listen, it was on the internet, but they're saying that Joker is going to be addressed before the season's over.
Yeah, I heard.
Everybody is going to be addressed before this goddamn season's over, Brian. That's related to Batman in some way, shape, or form. Batmite, I hear, is going to make it before the end of the season.
It's like Bruno Heller is just trying to fit everything he can into this one.
Ram it in, buddy.
My God, it's just... It's so damn annoying. They need to take a step back.
Well, the last couple episodes I thought were all right.
You saw the electrocutioner one, right?
Yeah, and it was. It was like, I mean, and maybe that was the point of it. He just tosses the water on him, and it was like, and he looked down and was like, oh. So, like, maybe that was the point of it. I don't know.
It just seemed like all this big buildup, and then it was just like, really?
Hey, do you think that they are not showing Barbara so much anymore on purpose?
Maybe.
Because she really has, I mean, she's had a couple minutes here and there, but she's not like...
I don't like the fact he's hooking up with Tompkins.
No, you don't like that?
No. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time with the deviating away from the actual mythos of Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually am fine with the adaptations, but this one is just like, I think it's a combination. It's just like, it's so far removed, and yet at the same time, they're trying to shoehorn so much stuff in. It's not working for me.
I don't mind it so much right now with her and him, because I dislike Barbara so much. So it's all right, and it kind of gives him, you know, something else on the side to not be so worried about.
Yeah.
You know? Bullock, though, man, I love him. To me, he's one of the best characters on that show.
Oh, he saves the show.
He really does. He's funny, and he's still, oh, and then with the support group, the girl in the support group, he says to her, are you Irish?
God, that hitting on her so horribly.
Yeah, it was
awkwardly. It was painful, but I think it was meant to be painful.
Yeah, it was funny.
So it did work.
And then Fish, I was really hoping Fish was going to get tortured a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
She got out of it.
And then, you know, it's... I don't even know where, you know.
I don't know where it's going, that's for sure.
And now we see, it's just, I you know, we're starting to see the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Birth of the Scarecrow, and as I'm looking at the trailer for this week, it's just, I feel like it should be stretched out further.
Yeah.
It could have been a nice subplot, but...
What do you think of Nygma?
Weird?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what to make of him.
I don't know what to make of him. Weird is right, but he's not like he's evil or bad. He's just awkward.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it is, you know, a long time before any of these guys will be anything, but I don't know. He doesn't seem... I mean, okay, maybe he's a little devious, but I don't know.
I'm just trying to figure out the chick he's involved with.
What's her deal?
Who the fuck dresses like that, period?
I don't know. Wait, what period is it in, Brian?
I don't know. It's just... She just does look so out of fucking place. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the hell her job is there, anyhow.
She's clerical, or she's... Yeah, she's just filing or something, yeah.
God.
And I don't know if she likes him or not. It's weird.
It's weird. It's very weird. It's like she's got something else going on. I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Let's actually talk about some good shows over.
Yeah. All right. Hey, before we talk about the good shows, another rumor this week going around.
Oh, God.
Did you see that Diggle might actually be Green Lantern?
Oh, come on. We confronted Mark himself about that, and he said he couldn't talk about that. That rumor keeps coming up.
But Diggle's saying it himself that they're in talks about it.
Oh, no, he's not. He's neither.
He's not commenting or denying.
Yeah, you know, come on. We asked Mark himself. And he said the same thing. Come on. This came up last season too. Hey, people want
just make him Green Lantern already.
Because people want to see the dynamic between the two of them.
I know.
And you know the Green Lantern, but you know it's If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, right. It doesn't.
I know.
But the other poster, picture he posted was, looks like the Suicide Squad is back now.
Yes.
But it seems like all shooters, though.
Yeah. It seems like they're really on some sort of mission.
Yeah, but it's just like, where's, Bronze Tiger isn't there.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird to me. It was just like, okay, so we got Diggle Harbinger, who's a shooter.
Yeah.
You got Deadshot, a sniper, and Cupid. It's just like, okay, we got all shooters. Can we have somebody else?
Interesting. I thought that they've got Deadshot, and he's going to be in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Whatever with them. They are so messed up.
Yeah, they are.
But they can't, they'll have, whatever. Anyway, the show was good.
The show was good.
Arsenal finally got named.
Well, he was named anyhow. Yeah, but somebody else
called him. They call him Arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though we see what a good detective Lance actually is, which is cool.
Yeah. You're right.
He's just like, dude, I saw you running around in a red hoodie.
it was pretty funny.
It was just like,
you know what? I get it. But then now we're walking this fine line. Like, if he could figure that out, come on, he can't figure out he's Ollie.
But then again, you can look at the same dynamic between Gordon and Batman.
Yeah, that's true.
There's been, issues where I saw an issue during the Cataclysm storyline where Batman took off his mask and, Gordon yelled at him. He didn't look. He said he didn't want to think of him as somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's so, maybe he always knew.
Yeah.
So, he figured out his daughter's identity, too, that he knew she was Batgirl. Didn't know if she was Oracle, but he knew she was Batgirl.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, it could just be a solemn bond, It's just like you don't want to think about it. You just want to think of them as this identity. You don't want to think about them as a flawed identity.
Right, as somebody else, right.
So, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Well, that works for me. He's still got issues with Ollie, and he can't look at him. Maybe he can look at him this way.
Yeah.
But damn, Arsenal is stepping up.
Stepping up. What do you think of Canary so far?
Not bad. She's getting her ass kicked.
She is, and I like that.
Yes.
I do like that she's kicking a little ass, but she's definitely taking her lumps.
Yeah, the one I didn't like, really. I liked Vinnie Jones' Brick.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good, but it kind of bummed me out that he took the way he took down Wildcat. I was like, yeah.
He really.
I'm a huge Wildcat fan, so I was just like, no.
He really took him to town. But he's not dead.
Nah.
Yeah, he just really pulverized him.
Pulverized him, yeah. Yeah, Ollie made his great return.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I really hate to say it, but I'm getting tired of the community standoff, though. It was just like, okay, can we not do the mob thing again, please, for a little while?
Yeah.
But still, it was, I don't know, because they had the two guys, the two armies. One of them has guns, the other one doesn't. I would have just been like, fire.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
I'm oversimplifying it. What can I tell you? What I thought was really interesting is, is Ollie's given. We have Arrow now as a public hero too, which I like.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he stayed in character from the episode. Like you could see him hurt.
Yeah. Oh, well, absolutely, because he was limping.
Yeah. And and he was limping. He was like holding his sides together. It was just like I did like seeing that, and this definitely an episode about Merlin.
What is his story, man?
Well, you don't know in the comics. He was a part of the League of Assassins, and they called him Merlin the Magician just because how good of a shot he was.
Yeah.
But, Nyssa named him the Magician.
Yeah, but what's his story on the show? Like, what is his deal? What is he after?
What's his endgame?
Yeah, exactly. What do you think his endgame is?
I don't know.
Because he's definitely playing both sides.
He really is.
You almost think that he cares about Ollie. Almost.
But I think
I don't know. He's definitely got some other motivation.
Yeah, he definitely does.
And he don't care about what's her face at all. I don't care what anybody says.
No, he's molding her and he's trying to make her into a weapon then. He'll probably unleash her against Ollie.
Yeah, I guess.
I really see that. She'll brainwash her again. Next thing you know, they'll have to fight.
Now, she knows that he's Green Arrow, right?
No.
She doesn't know.
She does not know.
I thought she did.
No.
Okay.
She has no idea about that secret. Okay. And that's going to piss her off because she's... Yeah.
Okay.
Entire secret thing. Mm-hmm. But damn, great episode. I could have went, you know, like you, I probably could have went another episode without Ollie.
One more, it was fine. At least yeah. Show up to the end.
Yeah, and just in the nick of time.
Of course.
But, hey, you know, got to give him some creative licensing.
And then I hope that he lets Arsenal, you know, be his own man a little bit. Like, doesn't kind of go back into the mentor thing with him. Because he definitely stepped up.
Oh, yeah. Roy was definitely the shit.
And here's the other deal. What is the deal with the DJ from the club?
He looks like he's part of the League of Assassins.
Yeah, right?
So, it looks like they actually know the truth about who killed Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that's going to be a problem. I was kind of hoping that Katana would have went back with Ollie. Would have liked to see a costume for her, but...
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe in the future.
Maybe she comes back and saves them again.
Yeah.
And what about the Flash? They're talking... I think it's definitely happening. Adam-Flash crossover?
Yep. Well, you know, speaking of the Adam, we saw the suit revealed.
Oh, that's right. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that suit?
I don't hate it. It looks like a real-world combat suit.
Yes.
The only issue I have is the face glass, whatever, the visor.
Yes.
I feel it looks a little like... there was an old hero that Marvel did with it when they teamed up with the NFL called Super Pro. And that's what it looks more like a linebacker with that helmet. I would have preferred like a full, you know, his face fully encased in the visor.
When you sent me that picture, I literally LOL'd.
Look at it.
It was very, it's a shame we can't show people. You just got to go search.
You know, that's the only issue I have. I mean, I like it really, you know, you see all the guts of it and everything outside and stuff. This is kind of how, you know, it's probably.
The only reason I didn't think they went with the full visors, maybe because he'd be fogging it up. So then I thought, well, maybe like some sort of visor kind of goggle thing. It just covered his eyes.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I agree with you. I think it looks, the costume itself, or whatever you want to call it, looks really cool, but the headgear is a little off.
Yeah, it really does. It's, and it's not even halfway down, it's just like stops, like, it's really weird.
It's a weird thing. Maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe it's a prototype. Let's hope. Let's keep our fingers crossed that thing gets blown off and he comes up with something better.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, but yeah, that was cool. I mean, for the most part, it was cool. Flash.
I have one issue with the Flash.
Yeah, what's your issue?
The man can outrun just about anything, and yet a digital camera can capture his image.
Yeah, that was silly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to call bullshit on that one.
That was a little silly. I thought the same thing. But then I sort of reasoned that maybe she had something that, some sort of app that caught, I don't know. It was
no way. I take a lot of pictures. You have to have the amount of way he runs, you got to have a great shutter speed. No fucking camera phone has one. I'm not buying. I'm sorry. I have a problem with that one.
That's fine.
Other than,
I don't disagree with you. I thought the same thing.
Other than that, two great episodes. You know, Pied Piper, I thought was awesome. And more about Wells. It looks like the suit is charging him.
Yes. What is the deal with that?
And it looks like he can't walk without it. It looks like he needs it. So he is damaged.
Yes, but he can walk without the suit. He can run fast without the suit.
No, but it's a charge.
So he's taking off of the suit.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, right.
The suit is absorbing energy from the Speed Force, from what I gathered.
Right, and he's absorbed, and then he in turn is absorbing it.
Yeah, he has to put on that harness
right,
to absorb the energy from the suit. So he does have residual energy. That's why he can move fast, like do these short bursts of speeds. But as we saw, he can run out, and then he's helpless.
I don't think he's bad, you know? No,
he's got an ulterior motive.
I don't know. I don't think he's the one that killed his mom.
You think it might be Thawne?
I don't know. I don't know for sure.
But he said he's the one who wants to kill the Flash, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just something's not right about the whole relationship. And have you noticed that not only has Eddie not been in the show that much, but he's playing the character a little differently? He's not as, to me, he's not as friendly.
Mm.
Could be just me.
I don't know. I love that. I did love the fact how public the Flash is now.
Yeah, it is cool.
I really am enjoying that. Because, you know, like we've talked about, that entire Hero in the Shadows thing gets old fast.
Yes. So especially when it's been done before.
Yeah, done to death. Everybody, you know, it's nice to see a hero in the light.
Yeah.
The town is embracing him. You know, who knows? Maybe we'll get that Flash Museum and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was really cool. The fucking, and then let's talk about the end of the episode.
I was just going to say, how about that end?
Holy shit, that was great effects. It did not look like a guy in a rubber chimp suit.
No, didn't see that coming either.
My God, I was just like, I thought it would just be shadows and something. Like, you saw the name Grodd, and then the next thing you know, you see this big shadow. But no, they went full out and showed a full fucking ape. And I was just like, holy shit.
It was pretty cool.
That was awesome, man. The villain I wasn't too, you know, Peekaboo was,
yeah, it was all right. I'm trying to remember what happened.
He hooked up with Linda Park.
Oh, right.
Which, I
yeah.
Again, it's just, you know, let's fuck over Wally again.
Yeah. It looks like the next episode is going to be a lot about Firestorm, which finally I'm looking forward to seeing.
And it seems like Barry's dad knows who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, Barry's dad got knifed.
Yeah.
Got shivved.
Shivved. And Cisco got his ass kicked, thank God.
Yes, he did. I know you don't like him. I like him. I don't like what's-her-face, though. To me, she's annoying.
Snow?
Yes.
Oh, God. But the karaoke thing was so funny because you got to remember that actor Dustin Grant was on Glee.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Or maybe I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the way he was singing and stuff, and she was like, hey!
He was on Glee. How about that?
Yeah. So, but all-around great episode.
Yes, good. It was pretty good.
And, you know, we got Firestorm coming up. But, you know, that's not all for TV news.
What else we got?
We had the Daredevil trailer drop this week.
What'd you think of that?
Dude, don't forget, I saw the clips.
Yeah.
I cannot freaking wait.
I tell you, I was never that big of a Daredevil fan. I got freaking chills watching it. When he pulls his face out of that puddle and it's bleeding, I'm like, oh my God, I cannot wait for the show.
He's a hero who gets his ass kicked.
He is, man. I believe that he's definitely getting his ass kicked. And going back to what we said before a couple weeks ago, where there was absolutely no news about AKA Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's news trickling out. I swear, I wonder if it's because Daredevil looks like it's going to be awesome.
Well, they showed three pictures of her.
Of Jessica Jones?
Yeah, pretty much just her walking down the street. And
yeah,
stuff.
Nothing big.
Nothing big, but still, I'm like looking at that, and I'm like, even there she looks kind of badass, so I'm a little more hopeful now. I wasn't really for Christian Ritter.
Yeah.
But now I'm just seeing those pictures like, okay.
Yeah, she's going to be awesome.
We're going to be okay. The fucking Daredevil, oh my God. And they finally showed Scott Glenn his stick, and I'm like, oh my God, that stick! That is fucking stick!
How many times did you watch it?
I lost count. Dude, it was just so good. He's got the moves.
He had the batons.
It's just like that shootout. It's just he's kicking ass, doing flips. I'm just like, holy crap. I cannot wait for the show to start.
You only got a month and a half.
Oh, God. I hope I don't. I'm trying not to binge watch, but.
No, you will be.
I might.
You can binge watch, but we're only going to talk about an episode at a time because I'm not binge watching.
Yes, sir. But damn, it's just like, it looks good. It really does. And it's definitely an origin story.
Yeah.
But not so much as, you know, the blinding, but, you know.
You're right, where he start him starting off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, oh, God. I really do hope we get a costume.
Maybe by the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they really are following the, you know, the Man Without Fear.
Yeah.
Who ripped off their costume from the Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Maybe they just, at the end of the season, they just show him it standing in it for some reason.
I would have no problem with that.
Yeah. They ramp it up for the second season.
Yeah, just don't give me a Billy Club that, you know, I think it was the only issue I have with Daredevil as entire. It's just like, okay, I get the extra senses and everything else and the fighting skills, but the man has no engineering skill. How does he make a club that does all that shit?
Spider-Man helps him.
Yeah. I think Frank Miller realized that, too, when he got rid of the grapple and stuff and just made it a two-sectional staff.
Yeah.
So it would look like a blind man's staff, and then he would just pop it. And
right.
He got rid of the grappling hook on it.
Right.
So that was one of the things that Miller did. So we'll see.
Well, we're coming up to an hour. Do you want to wrap it up with our new Avengers book?
Yeah, why not?
So once somebody else
gets I mean, we got the Avengers book, and we got this, you know, so-called relaunch now, which I think a lot of people are reading the relaunch differently.
What do you mean? The Marvel one?
Not the Marvel. Well, let's talk Marvel first.
Yeah, what I was referring to was the A-Force.
Yeah.
The all-female
Avengers. Again, looks like it's taken from, you know, like another spinoff of the lovely Infinite on Crisis Earth.
I think maybe with that interview you sent to me last week, when we briefly touched about it, Tom Bevoorrood said somebody asked him if it was not an homage, but if they were borrowing from Crisis, and he was like, "Well, maybe if you see it that way, I guess something like that."
Yeah, jack off. But this A-Force, it's She-Hulk and pretty much every female heroine they have form their own team of Avengers. And, you know, I'm not opposed to it. I mean, you look at the image and it's definitely, they come, you know, looks like they definitely come from different Earths.
Yeah. Well, I hope so, because I was just about to say, they've got old school Dazzler on here.
Yep.
And I definitely like the way that she is in X-Men, even though we're not allowed to say X-Men anymore. they really completely changed her over.
Wasn't she like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. or some kind of crap like that?
Yeah, for a while, but now she's got like short black hair and she's like all in black. She definitely is, she's got a better look to her now.
But it's definitely different from different eras because it's She-Hulk's costume in the promo image by Jim Chung.
Yeah.
It's
a nice image, by the way.
Yeah, she's an incredible artist. Yeah. It's almost the same. She didn't have the gloves on, but that's almost exactly the same costume she was wearing on the first Secret Wars, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
No, wait. No, actually, I don't think it was. No, she was in, my God, what? She had leg warmers on during Secret Wars. Oh, my God, I'm dating myself. But, you know, it's all women. There's one new female character, I think.
Yeah.
Which, you know, of course, I never heard of.
I wonder if this is who we're talking about. Who's the, I guess, the witch-looking one? Right at her feet, at She-Hulk's feet.
That's Nico from, she's from The Runaways.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. We'll see where this goes.
Yeah, there's a new, you know, cosmic, like, the one to her right.
Yes.
I think that's going to be the new character, Singularity.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
At first, I thought that was Captain Universe, who's been in the Hickman titles, but I guess
not. That's who I thought it was, but maybe there was some sort of gender swap.
But Captain Universe is female in Hickman's thing.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Then who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Okay, never mind then.
but it's just like, I think it's, you know, a lot of people are bitching and moaning and stuff. And
what else would they do?
I don't know. You know, I don't know what to make of it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's definitely, it's just like, you know, you got Storm from the, you know, early 80s. You got Rogue here from the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Woman, her old costume.
Yeah, and you got, then in the background, you can see Spider-Gwen, who's like the new upcoming thing.
Yeah. Oh, I see her now, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, Jubilee.
Jubilee's all the way back there.
Yeah, non-vampire in her pseudo-Robin costume.
You know, I wonder if you're right, that this is,
Well, it takes place on Battle Worlds.
So maybe that's what it is. They're from different universes.
Yeah, they are. It's a multiverse universe, you know, title.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
So what were you going to say about DC and how people are reading this differently now?
Oh, DC is like, after Convergence, they're having, you know, all new titles and stuff and getting rid of some and bringing some new ones back, but it's not the end of the New 52.
Right.
A lot of people are taking it as the end of the New 52.
Well, didn't they come out and say that the New 52, they are doing away with the New 52 imprint?
Yes.
That is going away.
Yeah, there's not 52 books anymore.
But there are, whatever books are still out there, they're still continuing in this timeline.
I mean, some of them sound interesting. I mean, it's like Red Hood is going from, it's no longer the Outlaws because Starfire's getting her own book.
Yeah.
And I do kind of like that costume. That's definitely a movie costume. TV, if the TV network is looking for a costume to,
I think that's the right. It's a good update. It's a it's a good middle ground.
Yeah, I so do I. I totally agree, and that's, you know, what they should lead. Sexy. It's not slutty.
Yeah.
So I think that would work. But you know, it's, you're going to see the bromance so live, and you know, Red Hood and Arsenal now.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool.
Yep.
You know, Midnighter is getting another solo book.
That's interesting.
And he's, you know, A, he's a Batman knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
B, he's a gay character.
I think that's why. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Because how many more Batmans do we need?
Yeah. And then, yeah, they have some weird ones here, like Harley Quinn and Power Girl.
Well, I thought that was weird, too. There's a couple issues going through Harley Quinn where they teamed up, or I don't know if they actually teamed up or not, but they're in the Harley's comic together.
Yeah.
I haven't read those issues yet, but it must have done well enough for them to do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a miniseries. It's a six-issue miniseries. So
is that what it is?
Yeah. And then they got Garth Ennis back writing a book called Section 8, which is... we know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of weird ones here, like We Are Robin.
What is the story with that?
I don't know. It's just like, first it was supposed to be a story about all the Robins.
All the Robins, right?
But you look at it, it's just like...
They're not Robins.
They're not Robins. They're like,
the Robins that we know.
They're like punks in clothing and stuff. Yeah. It's just I'm not...
The initial idea I thought was very cool about this story about all the Robins.
Except Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
But
I wonder what his status is going to be in the new...
Still Grayson.
Yeah?
The continuing Grayson.
Okay.
Some other things to point out here is just like Justice League, you know, is now, you know, Hal's back.
Yeah.
And Hal's been gone for a while.
For a while, he's been off-world.
Yeah. And Cyborg's finally getting his own series.
Yep.
Pushing that diversity.
He's got a nice push lately.
Yeah. So trying to get diverse characters.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem here.
Justice League Dark is now going to be called Dark Universe.
Okay.
And they're bringing back Grand Writer Paul Levitz, who's going to be writing a Dr. Fate series.
Okay.
But they're not saying which Dr. Fate it is.
Oh, okay.
And he's not even saying. He's very hush-hush on that.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what it is.
I don't know. I got high hopes, man. Maybe I shouldn't, but I got high hopes for this.
Yeah, you know, I'm not knocking either way. It looks like some of the fat was cut out.
Yeah.
I mean, I still don't get Justice League 3000.
Yeah, what I don't get is why they bump it up 1 year.
It's not selling that well, and it's, you know, Supergirl got canceled, and this book should be canceled, too.
Yeah, but I don't get why go from 3,000 to 3,001.
It's a cute thing to do. Probably next year we'll see 3,002.
Maybe, perhaps. Oh, you know what else is still missing? Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen a new Legion title.
Not happening.
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet. Like I said, I can't really judge about it. Like, I am kind of curious about... I think Red Hood and Arsenal is the one I'm really curious about, because
that's a good title.
I did like their dynamic in The Outsider, Outlaws.
Yeah.
And, Lobdell is back writing that one, so I'm kind of curious how the bromance is going to be in that one.
That's cool.
But, you know, I'm not opposed to it.
Well, I guess we'll be seeing this soon. A couple of months.
I'm just trying to figure out how people thought this was like the end of the new 52. They just took it literally.
Yeah.
And it's really not. I mean, I don't know. Don't get it.
All right, what do you got going on this week?
You serious? You seriously asking me this question?
I know, it's just something that I do, man.
Dude, you and I have Toy Fair.
Toy Fair. By the time this comes out, we will be we'll be laying in bed, recovering from Toy Fair.
Yes, we have a full schedule.
Back there, man.
Oh man,
we were just reviewing right before we came on, and wow.
Yeah, we are trying to cover as much ground as we can, and it's insane.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. I'm just plotting for Toy Fair. Nothing really coming out this week, so everything will be post Toy Fair coverage.
Yeah,
and then we're gonna do the show on Monday. Yeah, right after Toy Fair.
Right after Toy Fair, because your two hosts need to get some rest.
Yeah, there's no way we would be able to do it Sunday night.
No.
I mean, we are literally right up to Sunday night, aren't we? Like 5:30, we have an appointment.
Yeah, pretty much, and we still got invited to an after party.
Because that's just how we are.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have jobs.
All right, well, in the meantime, you can check out me and Brian on casterscorner.com.
And check there for your Toy Fair coverage.
Yes. Well, all our pictures will be going up as soon as possible.
Yep.
And then you can also check out all our old shows back on fanboyfactor.com.
And also check us out on iTunes and Stitcher for taking us on the go.
Yep.
Download us. Listen to us in the car, on vacation.
Subscribe. Yep. All right, my friend. I guess until next week, post Toy Fair?
Yes. I mean, technically, I'll see you Saturday, but...
Yeah, I know.
Post Toy. At least we get a good breakfast.
Yeah. Lego!
All
right, dude.
Later, sir.
Talk to you later.